Well, hello everybody, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here again, Lizzie, for our 380th time, which is a lot of times. So welcome to you. Thank you for being here these many hundreds of times with me, Lizzie, and welcome to all of you who are joining us really from all over the world. We are so glad that you're with us on podcast platforms, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Instagram, all of those places. Thank you for finding your way to us as you always do. And we're going to begin in a moment as we always do. Lizzie, you have found for us, as this is your week, as you know, to find a source, which is like the wellspring for our conversation. You found us a wonderful source by both Rainer Maria Rilke and Parker Palmer. And we're going to read it together and then dive into all the rich conversation that flows from it. And I'm handing to you.
Thank you, Justin. So I have been wanting to bring a source from Parker Palmer's book, The Courage to Teach, for ages. And I just, it's such a beautiful and big and rich book. And then I don't know, last week, Justin, I just got determined and found this wonderfulness. And of course, like everything, it feels so relevant to life for me at the moment as well. And it's been really helping me this week to feel the possibility of this. So I'm really grateful to Parker Palmer. I'm really grateful to Rilke. I'm really grateful to you in the space that we can wander into this wandering together. So here we go. I'm going to read the quote from Rilke first, which I think is quite a famous quote. And then I'm going to read Parker Palmer's reflection on the quote. So Rilke says, "Be patient towards all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves. Do not seek the answers which cannot be given because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer." And then Parker Palmer writes in his reflection, "My deeper hope comes with Rilke's words, and the point is to live everything. Of course that's the point. If I do not fully live the tensions that come my way, those tensions do not disappear, they go underground and multiply. I may not know how to solve them, but by wrapping my life around them and trying to live out their resolution, I open myself to new possibilities and keep the tensions from tearing me apart. There is only one alternative, an unlived life, a life lived in denial of the tension that life brings. Here I play a masked role, pretending outwardly that I have no tensions at all, while inwardly all those tensions I pretend not to have are ripping the fabric of my life. Pretending is another name for dividedness, a state that keeps us from cultivating the capacity for connectedness on which teaching depends. When we pretend we fall out of community with the common centre that is both the root and the fruit of teaching at its best. But when we understand that the point is to live everything, we recover all that is lost."
Thank you, Lizzie. Before I read this, I want to say to everyone, you can find the source always on our website, turningtowards.life, and in the show notes and on YouTube and in Instagram posts and in our Facebook group, which you're very welcome to join as well. And Lizzie, The Courage to Teach is the most amazing book, and I had forgotten about it. It's on my shelf among many, many books, much loved and read last, I think, 7 or 8 years ago. So I'm glad to have it back in my orbit, in our orbit. So here it is. Rainer Maria Rilke says, "Be patient towards all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves. Do not now seek the answers which cannot be given you because you would not be able to live them, and the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer. And then Parker Palmer writes, but my deeper hope comes with Rilke's words, and the point is to live everything. Of course, that's the point. If I do not fully live the tensions that come my way, those tensions do not disappear, they go underground and multiply. I may not know how to solve them, but by wrapping my life around them and trying to live out their resolution, I open myself to new possibilities and keep the tensions from tearing me apart. There is only one alternative, an unlived life, a life lived in denial of the tensions that life brings. Here, I play a masked role, pretending outwardly that I have no tensions at all, while inwardly, all those tensions I pretend not to have are ripping the fabric of my life. Pretending is another name for dividedness, a state that keeps us from cultivating the capacity for connectedness on which teaching depends. And when we pretend, we fall out of community with a common center that is both the root and the fruit of teaching at its best. When we understand that the point is to live everything, we will recover all that is lost.
Thank you, Justin. This feels like such a big, huge throwing me out of a canon kind of source to me. And I just want to mention as well, the book is The Courage to Teach. So it is a book about teaching, about essentially, as I interpret it, being in a position of leadership and gift giving and imparting education towards people who are less along the path of life than oneself in the particular area that you're talking about. So it's about, I was really thinking about, you know, what is teaching when I was thinking about what this courage to teach thing is all about. And I think essentially Parker Palmer for me is talking about what it means to healthily live in a power dynamic, as well as the content of it all. And so it had me kind of turn and reflect towards parenting, towards the work that we do, Justin, in our professional coaching program, towards any place where I feel like I have any power basically at all. And I feel like, of course, when we really step into understanding what powers we have to live in ways where we are leading, where we're taking responsibility in some way for someone, something, ourselves, there are inevitable tensions that sit in everything as we turn towards life. And one way of handling that is to pretend. One way of handling that is to be like a duck, looking like everything's great on the surface of the water, and then our legs are scrambling about like mad things beneath us. And really, that's exhausting, to be that duck where everything is flailing around trying to stay afloat and looking like everything is great on the top. And I really, really appreciated Parker Palmer's kind of, I guess, wording of it, that pretending is another form of dividedness. And that state stops us from connecting. Like, just that even alone in this is such a big inquiry. Like, what is it to show up looking like everything's fine and behind the scenes, everything's falling apart? And because we're not facing into those tensions, as he talks about, we're not living those tensions that are the little feet going 10 to the dozen under the surface of the water that nobody can see. If we're not turning towards them, those tensions are really exhausting us, ripping the fabric of our lives. And having these tensions be turned towards, equating to these, Parker Palmer says, opening to new possibilities and living out their resolution, wrapping my life around things. I think it speaks, Justin, to the whole of what the underbelly of turning towards life is, and why we called it turning towards life, because it's not as if it's easy to be human. It's not as if it's straightforward and A plus B equals this and yeah, everything's fine. It's a very complex experience being human. And so if we can keep turning towards the tensions that arise in us, that exist in us, that come towards us because of the places of authority that we might take up, the leadership role we might take up, the taking responsibility, taking action for something that means something to us, we inevitably face then whatever arises in response to us doing that. And so to have this possibility that we live out, that we inhabit the tensions, that we let the tensions be here and we don't try and turn away from them and try and push them away and try and pretend. And in doing that, all these different possibilities open up for us. It feels like, that word you said, like a wellspring, like a relief, like a thank goodness, there's a place to go, there's a place to turn. Because it's such a big source of suffering to feel like I'm on my own, like I'm trying to have everything be okay. And I'm scrabbling around like a mad person and pretending that it's not happening to the outside world.
I think other things I'm thinking about, Lizzie, as you're talking, is how so much of the education, given that Parker Palmer's talking about teaching, so much of the education we receive when we go to school, if we have an opportunity to be in other educational settings, the education we receive at the from our parents, from social media, particularly, actually teaches us that our job is for there not to be tensions. So I have to get, if I can get an A grade in my exam, good, and if I can't, then bad. If I can have my life look shiny and together and happy and sunny and successful, good, and if not, then bad. If I can have my children tucked up in bed by 7 p.m. at night and nobody's upset, and it's all very straightforward, good, and if not, then bad. I was actually thinking about also about a recent experience of teaching I had, Lizzie, that you'll know about because you were there, of trying to teach in the space of a couple of hours with a group on our professional coaching course, something that's very big and very rich and very complex and can't fit into a couple of hours. And how tempting it is, I noticed it was for me, to feel like completion is completing this subject. Like if at the end of a couple of hours we've talked about it all, good, and if not, then bad. And none of life is like that. I mean, a few things are like that. But most of the experiences that we experience, the ones that are meaningful and actually matter, are rife with competing commitments, things that don't exactly belong together or sort of belong inside one another but can't be resolved. And as a person who, I think for a long time in my life, fell into the trap of, I have to be good at things and I have to look good at things, I know very well what Parker Palmer is talking about here, which is that until we can face with some genuineness and some heart that we will always be incomplete and the world is always incredibly complex and incomplete, and the best we can do most of the time is sort of find a place in the midst of competing commitments. Until we do that, then what we're likely to be doing is either presenting to the world a story that everything's fine, I've got it all together, or actually the alternate story is just as poisonous, which is everything's not fine and I can't get any of it together. Both of those are generally untruths about ourselves. And in doing that, we force all the complexity down inside us. What we're having to do is to try to manage the impossibility of things on the inside. And I think that's the thing that Parker Palmer says tears us apart. You know, because I cannot, I'm too small to make this 100-hour topic fit into a 2-hour conversation. I'm too small to balance everyone being, you know, fine and happy and in bed at 7 o'clock in the midst of everything. I'm too small to manage all of these things. And I suppose the reality of most of these complexities that we live in, and I think tensions is such a good word for it, because they're things that pull in different directions at the same time, like poles that pull in different directions at the same time, is they're not solvable by us. Which is not to say that we can't make meaningful contributions to them. We can make situations around us better in many ways all the time. But we really, really often can't solve for complexity. And looking good is such a terrible strategy in the midst of that. And I'm thinking particularly about, you know, about social media, about the way in the sort of the looking good in the world phenomenon where we present ourselves to the world as if we were people without complexity. Look at my, you know, whether it's my successful material life or my successful spiritual life or my wonderful parenting life or, you know, whatever. And I think it's something that Rilke says here. He doesn't say it exactly this way, but I was thinking that really in the midst of all of these tensions, what might happen is instead of us solving the tensions in a way, the tensions solve us if we'll let them, which is that we, instead of sort of trying to stay rigid and trying to keep everything simplistic and trying to keep up appearances, what we're really called to do is to develop the inner complexity that meets the complexity of the world and to be able to say, yes, you know, I'm a parent of these little ones. And my first priority is that I love them. But I also feel frustrated often. And I want them all to be safe and tucked up in bed. And they want to fight with one another. And what I want and what they want aren't always the same. And, you know, it was raining and we all got soaked and we got back late. And it's sort of the and move that's the thing for us to begin to do, to say all of these things are true simultaneously. And here I am in the midst of things, knowing that I can't resolve all the ands, but what I can do, I take your language of turning towards, obviously the language of this whole conversation we're in, turning towards it. What I can do is turn towards it and see if by living, allowing, daring to live in the midst of the complexity with all of the complex feelings I'm likely to have about it as well. It's something to do with staying present to that rather than fleeing from it, rather than telling a cover story to it. And that's the place where we allow ourselves to be changed by it. Not in the way that has us go from trying to be too big, like I can control this, to too tiny, like there's nothing I can do. I think our place is in the dance of, in a way, it's a funny way I thought of saying it, sort of in the dance of possibility and impossibility that we're always in the midst of. That's one of the tensions that we live in all the time.
I'm thinking as well, Justin, as you're speaking, of Parker Palmer saying there's only one alternative, an unlived life, a life lived in denial of the tensions. And that we could treat the tensions as life is really different than I need to get rid of these tensions so I can live my life, so that everything can be the way that it needs to be. And I heard something the other day where someone said, oh, look, I've got everything I wanted and now I'm complaining about it all. It's kind of in the same realms of we step into something and then what happens isn't exactly pleasing or the way I thought it would be or something. And then we kind of slice it to pieces as if, well, that shouldn't be here. And this should be here and that shouldn't be here. Like you're saying, the good and bad paradigm. And when Parker Palmer writes it as an unlived life, suddenly if I orient towards the tensions as life, it would be dishonest of me to say, I don't want life. I do want life. I'm living because I want life. Like there's a natural wish to be in life. And so if I can welcome the tensions, if I can say, well, this is what makes life rich. This is what makes life itself. Like life isn't a straightforward, simple thing where everything looks like the swan on the surface. It's just not that. So if I can welcome the tensions as if they're life, and part of what I am in at the moment that are worthy of my attention, worthy of turning towards, and also which probably have content in them. Tensions have content in them that are for me, for my growing, for my possibilities to widen. And so there's a territory that I can trust, that if I allow the tensions to be defined as life and to turn towards them and seek support inside of it and be in community in it, I can grow. I can shift my understanding of things. I can, as you say, expand my capacity for complexity on the inside, so that I'm not constantly spending all my energy trying to reduce everything to something that I can manage. But as that capacity grows, what I can manage, what I can hold, expands, and then my capacity to relate actually changes, because I'm not categorizing the whole time. It's like, that's too much and that's not too much. If that's where my attention is, how am I even looking at the person in front of me? How am I even welcoming what's here? Because all I'm doing is trying to make everything the way that I need it in order to cope. And therefore, the pretending can be kept in place. So I'm feeling really grateful for this unlived life invitation, because I think today, for example, when things feel complex and tense, there's going to be a different thing that happens in me, which is, I'm going to treat this as a full life, not as a, this is something to get rid of, which is a kind of welcoming. And then it's going to be different to see what it is to welcome attention rather than trying to get rid of it, trying to move away from it. And it makes me think, Justin, as well, how much of my presence is called away in trying to make everything not these tensions, and trying to live differently to welcoming tension. How hard it is to truly be present to life if I'm up to this kind of futile, actually, because it's happening anyway, whether it's above the water or below the water, is futile attempt to have things be a certain way when they are the way they are right now.
I'm thinking whilst you're talking, Lizzie, that there are, of course, some tensions and complexities that we can solve, and they're really worth solving for. I'm not hearing in what you're saying a sort of invitation to not caring. In fact, quite the opposite. It's towards living in the midst of that which is and that which cannot be changed by us. Whilst you were talking, I was thinking about how the trying to escape from life's complexity not only does what Parker Palmer says divides us inside, and I think leaves us unsupported as well. Partly what I was thinking about whilst you were talking was how important it is to find other people to talk to about life's complexity. We really need people. We can say, this is the way my life is messy and complex, and I cannot make head nor tail of it, and I can't seem to hold this and this together. We need to be that for one another as much as we can. I was also thinking about how our attempts, when we attempt to avoid living in the very real and unresolvable tensions and contradictions of life, one of the ways in which we get divided, as Parker Palmer says, is that we can end up suspending being present in our lives until such time as the complexities go away. So we'll go, well, I'll sort of check out of my life now. I may be very active in it, but I've sort of absented myself on the inside because I'm just roiled with all these tensions. And one day, when the kids have grown up, when I retire, when I, then I'll be able to be present in my life because life will be simple again. And then I can be here. And that's such an error, because we look back, our children have left home, and we look back and we find out we've missed them. We've missed their lives. Or we work in a particular way all our lives because one day the tension between what I long for and what I'm doing will get resolved. And we look back and we realize that we've sort of checked out of our lives and we've missed the people we love. They've been there, but we haven't been with them. And so it's a very clear and profound invitation that you make when you say the tensions are life. I think it's really clear The tensions and contradictions and complexity, the unresolvability, the mess of things is where aliveness lives. It's right in the midst of being a person in a world that's way bigger than us, that's way more complex than we can manage. That's where all of life is. And when we feel that irresolvability of things, as Rilke says, when we feel a question that we can't know the answer to, the right thing to do is to treat the unresolvability as the way to live, not something to run from. I don't know the answer to this, so my task is to live it. And living it means inhabiting it as fully as we can, bringing it to others, pouring our aliveness to it. And that also means some things that are really important that are hard for us to do, softening our inner criticism, softening our comparison with all the people that we think have somehow magically escaped all the tensions of living because they've got shiny Instagram profiles or are famous or billionaires or something like that. That's our job.
And I remember all the teachers in my education and ongoing development who were real. And I remember those who felt like they weren't real and how much easier it was to learn things from people when they were real, because there was engagement and there was relationship and there was warmth rather than this pretense that was present. So I want to thank all of the ones in positions of power who've done their inner work and are continuing to do it, and who are well supported and whose systems are showing them that their realness is gold in any teaching setting, in any setting where any kind of power dynamic is present. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Justin, for this really wonderful wandering into this source. And thank you, Parker Palmer, for writing this. Thank you, Raina Maria Rilke, for being one of those ones who's left so many gifts for us behind. And Justin will be back next week for another source and another meandering conversation into who knows where.
Yes, Lizzie, thank you for being with me through all of the complexities and realities of putting this podcast out as well. It's such a great joy. Thank you, everybody. See you next week. Bye-bye.